How pleasant.
Oh, never mind. There's Paladin.
Standing by. Complete.
This is Superhero Time. With XV.
Paladin, horns are not a color.
Hey, Mickey.
Well, we're talking about gold assholes.
Paladin.
Then fill it with something.
Ken.
Why?
And Fort Max.
Well, to the bondage closet.
It's time to play the music.
That's great and all, but we've made that joke so many times.
It's not a joke. It's a way of life.
Okay, I'll rephrase. We've made that reference so many times.
And the Muppets never get old, and your point is?
This is true. The Muppets don't get old, the voices just die. And you're listening to Superhero Time, the cheeriest podcast on the internet.
Yes.
I hate you.
Yeah, we're off to a good start this week.
So, this is our unofficial Thanksgiving special. Because there's a turkey. Sort of.
There's always a turkey. It's Superhero Time.
Although, since the monster in the Power Rangers episode we're covering is called the Turkey Jerk, I propose we observe a different holiday. Jerksgiving. Where, you know, you give a jerk to someone you love.
Are you jerked till it gives?
I really prefer my way. So, in the spirit of Jerksgiving, Fort Max, I give you a paladin.
One of us should be insulted by that.
Are you just one? Are you sure about that?
No.
So, happy Jerksgiving, everybody. But we got some really good news to start off with this week.
Yes!
There's going to be a follow-up to Garo the and the...
Two follow-ups, technically.
Bunch of other crap.
Yeah, well, a bunch of other crap.
Two follow-ups that are kind of one follow-up altogether, really.
Right. A new movie called Gold Storm on March 28th that leads into a series also called Gold Storm and follows the adventures of Ryuga and Rian.
And let's be honest, that movie is probably just the first few episodes strung together like they've done before.
That's like, I was thinking the same thing. It's going to be basically what they did with Zero Black Blood, except...
Yeah. Or even Makai Senki, they every like
right,
there's,
I remember.
Stuff that got released in theaters before they aired on TV.
I remember that now.
Yeah, the entire series, I think. It was just like... In chunks.
Yeah.
So I imagine Gold Sword is probably like the first two or three episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So now even if Ninja turns out to be shit, we actually have something to look forward to for 2015.
I know, I was so happy to have a fallback plan.
Ryuga!
Unless it turns out to be shit.
Well, hopefully it'll have the same production crew and whatnot.
Hopefully. They've taken the highlights out of Ryuga and Rian's hair, though.
Yeah.
A little sad.
Oh, well, they still look like Ryuga and Rian, so I'm happy.
Basically.
I can't remember. Were there any other surviving characters from the last Garo?
Well, all the knights survived.
All of them did? Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this definitely needs more Takeru.
I believe the only one who died on Team Garo was Barai.
Yeah.
Because Barai always dies.
Barai.
Yeah, I mean, considering this is only showing clips from the movie slash presumably beginning of the series, mm-hmm. I imagine that if Takeru and Augury show up there, it'll be a little bit later on. Because,
well,
you know,
not busy anymore now that time's over.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, and maybe they can actually give him some characterization now.
Okay, well, I mean, and here's the thing with that, though.
I'm just going to see him as Ryoma anyway.
Like, the thing is, if they bring Augury back, but they make him still be Augury, isn't that just going to be painful to watch?
A little bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, hopefully they've like seen what he can do in Gaim, and give him, and if they bring his character back, they give him a little bit more to work with. Because I mean, there's, you know, they could always do something to make it more interesting.
Maybe.
Presumably. But yeah, hopefully at least Takeru will be back.
But mainly, I'm just happy to have the return of the Garo series we all enjoyed.
Yeah. And also, notably, there are suits in this trailer.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, they actually give the money to work with.
Yeah, so it actually has a budget this time.
Well, and also, you know, they're not, like, having to, like, massively paint the Garo suit, so they're probably more comfortable letting them have real suits.
Yeah.
Plus, it's their anniversary, so I wouldn't be surprised if they got a bit of a budget bump.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
And Yeah.
That's weird. That is weird. For the 10th anniversary, they're bringing back the spin-off series.
Well, not just that, because there is also a Raiga movie, a sequel to the anime, an anime movie, and an opera.
Oh, no. There's also the Biku movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was kind of forgetting that.
On purpose?
Does someone care to explain who the hell that is, since none of us watched Makai no Hana?
Biku is the Makai priest that's in Makai no Hana. She's just kind of there.
She's the Dark Hunter.
Yeah. I mean,
her purpose is basically just to hunt down Makai knights that have gone bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting concept, mm-hmm. and if they can do something with that, but Biku is kind of like Crow in that series, and that she's just kind of there.
Which also means nothing to anybody else. But...
Yes. No, I watched long enough to know who Crow was.
Okay. Yeah.
I just didn't care who he was.
Yeah, you never did.
Well, yeah, that's the whole like series.
Off of him, kind of like the Zero thing, I might have been more interested.
No. See, the thing is, Zero has a character and a personality. Yes. Zero is charming.
Yes.
Crow is cardboard. Crow is the new Augury.
Crow is actually, I think Crow is worse than Augury, to be honest with you.
Crow never stabbed anybody with a bundle of arrows.
Yeah, Augury was still, you know, like his contrast with Takeru, where they have completely different personalities, you know, compared to Ryuga, that could sometimes be interesting, and you know, that could sometimes be amusing in a scene or so. A Crow never really had that. I mean, I kind of like his dynamic with Raiga, but on the other hand, Raiga has so much more personality.
I think what made Raiga and Crow interesting as a duo was just that, like, Raiga was so accepting of him and kind of filled in the personality gaps.
A little bit, yeah.
But honestly, I hesitate to make this comparison, but the little I saw of Makai no Hana actually makes me think it did the same problem Drive's doing. It went right back to an established formula that didn't serve the storytelling at all.
And we kind of touched on that when me and Ken sat down and talked
It's not really as bad, but I don't think it's really as bad as Drive did.
No, it's not.
Because there are really good episodes in Hana, but it's
Thank you for
more that. Like it took this one, the storytelling procedure, but it didn't really... It didn't even capitalize on it as much as the first two series did. Because like, there's not really just big status quo changing element like there was in the first two series towards the end of them. It's just that the climax kind of happens.
mm-hmm. I forget where we were going with all of this.
Yeah,
I would really like to see this musical project if they actually get that off the ground.
Yeah, you kind of have to wonder about that.
Is it just going to be Hironobu Kageyama singing? Because, you know.
Oh, man, if they put Hironobu on stage and make him be the knight for the musical story.
Or just, you know, you're just singing Zaraba.
Oh, no. Okay, here's what you do. You dress him in a black suit.
Oh, God!
You paint his face silver and put, like, a forehead thing on him.
Yes.
And he just is Zaraba on stage.
Yes, I like where this is going.
Yeah.
That's all you need, I think.
This is perfect. Let's do it. Superhero time saves the day again.
So yeah, there's that to look forward to.
Well, there's the one part of it to look forward to.
Well, there's the one part of it to look forward to that we'll actually be able to see. The part that's on TV.
Eventually, we'll probably see the movies maybe someday.
Eventually,
I guess.
Maybe perhaps.
No, I just one movie has a release date.
And I do.
We're talking
do
more about subtitles.
I do hope that Goldstorm at least, you know, I kind of hope it is just that pilot, because if it is a separate story, it's going to be weird to go into the series of the same name.
Although, like, if it is a separate story, I kind of suspect, like...
A kind of standalone bridging thing?
Yeah, like a prologue.
Or like Red Requiem, where it doesn't necessarily matter.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be, like, to get them back in attention, and then the show is just going to, like, do its own thing if it's separate at all.
Even if it was that, I could go for a movie that's just Ryuga and Rion. I mean, I can deal with that.
Yeah. Although, it's like we talked about before, too, like, you know... What are they going to introduce to still keep this where it's like its own unique thing and not just fall back on what the Garo universe does anyway?
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, one good thing I do like about the trailer, although, is that you know, it still was kind of emphasizing the fact that Rian can kick ass on her own.
Yeah. I think her gun got fancier.
Yeah, it did.
She updated from a revolver to an automatic, maybe?
Something like
that. She's written consistently.
Yes, because, like, beyond when she was written well was really awesome. When she was not, well...
It kind of hurt.
It was a... Yeah. Yeah, it was not great.
Yeah.
Let's not forget Sakamoto directed her a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, Sakamoto kind of worked in Garo. And probably they also had him on a bigger, better leash than they did with, like, than Toei did with, like, Ryoriger.
Well, and the thing is, too, you know, like, the female lead was not in a short skirt all the time.
No, she had pants.
Exactly.
And when she was in short skirt, she didn't fight.
Sakamoto must have been so sad.
Yes.
A female character wearing pants, just, it's unthinkable.
And it's funny you're talking about that with regards to Garo, too.
Well, now remember, there was in the end that one fight with the completely naked woman.
I wonder if that was Sakamoto.
I don't know.
If not,
he looked a little old for him.
Oh. Oh.
But wow. True.
But true.
Yeah. Well, you know why it's hard to tell a Sakamoto episode? There's no parkour cam in Garo.
Yeah, yes.
Sakamoto's made some weird choices over the years.
Without that or the twirling skirts, it's kind of hard to, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you can't tell, we're excited for the return of this Garo universe.
Yeah, and also now with a name that we can actually, you know, say in one breath.
You know that within days it's going to start being called Garo Golden Shower.
You but know.
Yep. Yep.
Actually, a Gold Storm is even worse, Giddy, if you think about it. That was held in for a long time.
It's like Bukake, except with urine.
2 years, in fact.
So
MJD would have loved this.
Yeah. So since we've gotten through the best part of the news, what else do we have that we don't really care that much about talking about, Paladin?
The rest.
Well, we have the first trailer for Power Rangers Dino Charge.
So something we don't really care that much about.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you didn't care about Drive, so I picked the lesser of two evils.
And I looked at it, watched it, it's like, well, that looks like a Power Rangers series.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Still with the same morphing call. I guess that's forever now.
And probably the same theme song.
Still with the flat-ass acting.
Well, and in fairness, I mean, it's only a line. But we have the line they're going to be saying every episode. And that's kind of important.
You know, partly
when Jason shouted, it's morphing time. There's a motion behind it.
It's true.
Right. Partly blame the acting on the director.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the director could pull more out of the actors if he was inclined to, or she, because I don't actually know offhand. But like,
does
I mean,
it matter?
Probably
bad.
Not. No,
it's
my
hard
point...
not to prejudge when the bar has already been set about as low as it could possibly get, but I still don't know yet.
Power Rangers is like Limbo. The next step is always lower than where it just was.
Hmm. Except for those odd times when they reset the bar, like RPM.
I'm convinced but that admittedly... wasn't Power Rangers. That was actually just Go Wander reinventing itself.
It turned itself inside out, so that's why you have the goofy Go Wander.
So RPM. RPM was Go Wander popcorn. It blew itself inside out.
Yes. Yeah.
Cool.
Basically. I mean, cool. That, it's a completely, you know, complete opposite way, form of...
Yeah.
Talking.
Yes. Talking words. Ah.
Words.
Words are hard. I knew it's like I knew what I was gonna say when I started and then it just kind of left me somewhere.
Welcome to my everyday.
Anyway, the point is we can't completely blame the actors because the actors may just not be getting the direction they need to actually do well.
Yeah.
But it's easy to blame the actors because they're the only ones we can see.
I know. I just kind of feel bad about it when some of the actors seem genuinely nice and like they actually care.
Yeah.
And still are not like giving the performance we want to see.
Yeah. So I really, you know, production can matter a lot because I've seen plenty of things where it's like, this is a perfectly good actor. Why are they so terrible?
Yeah.
Well, also, they can be perfectly nice people trying really hard and still be bad at their job.
Oh, well, yeah.
And that's totally true. I just feel worse about, like, harping on it then. But that's just me.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there.
So, yeah, yay, Dino Charge trailer, whatever.
Yeah. I'll watch an episode.
I guess. Well, I mean, come on. It's got to be more immediately palatable than Killryuger, right?
Do you remember what we were saying? Well, I mean, I guess Megaforce was...
How long did it take everyone to give up Killryuger?
7 episodes.
I think 2 or 3.
When was the fart battery?
7 episodes.
I think I quit when Cyan showed up. Or maybe before.
6 episodes. Or 5 episodes.
But right, 2 and 5 are so similar. They're all the same shapes. I mean,
we're apparently getting the fart battery in America too.
Oh, good.
Because they've hacked the Dino Charge morpher and it contained sounds for all 24 Voltasaurs.
Hacked. Now, look, when somebody takes a Game Shark and plugs it into a morpher to get the sounds out of it, I'll call that hacking.
This is yeah, so it takes like a screwdriver and it holds down pins.
Or a toothpick or whatever.
Yeah.
So, like, I saw a picture that looked like somebody literally, yeah, like,
the O's
saw...
driver, yeah, that would be hacked.
The O's driver, the wizard driver, you know, anything that has an electronic chip function and you need to, like, falsify inputs through one means. Was it the O's driver or the wizard driver where somebody, like, hooked up a calculator or something, or like a PDA to the driver scanner thing, and actually was inputting the numbers to make stuff happen? Because there was a YouTube video of someone doing that, I don't remember for what toy. But that's hacking.
That's leet hacking. Leet hacks.
But no, I saw a picture where it looked like somebody like literally sawed apart a Dino Charge morpher to get at the guts inside of it. Which seemed a little excessive to me.
Maybe they just hated Killreacher.
Maybe. Although, I had been thinking about picking up a Dino Charge Morpher, because I like the way the Gabba Revolver looked, but the Dino Charge Morpher does not look that nice. I think I'm still going to pass on that.
Has anyone heard if it plays Power Rangers music yet?
Music, I don't think so.
Aw.
It'd be funny if it did, I guess. See, they need to import Kamen Rider O's and make the scanner play Power Rangers music. For no good reason, just because that's what they do.
All the different combos can play a different Ron Wasserman song.
Cool.
I'd go for that.
I mean, think about that. You know, a new Kamen Rider adaptation with Ron Wasserman doing the music for it.
Yeah, I could be in for that.
I mean, that would almost be worth watching just to listen to the songs.
But what series would Wasserman be the best fit for?
Well, Like, I'm wanting to lean toward Forze.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
It's very, like, tech-themed, and his style of music kind of suits that.
And, you know, it's...
That'd be an interesting matchup, I think.
After that, I would think Kabuto.
Because, again, tech.
Yeah.
And after that, unfortunately, Fife. But look at the bright side.
What about
Dino?
Look
at the bright side. He can only improve Fife.
That it actually is.
What about Dino?
No, because Dino's not metal enough.
No, I guess not. But it is fun.
Yeah, Dino needs, like, jazzier music.
It does.
Not as jazzy as Double, but...
No,
not nearly, but I mean, it needs that kind of tone, that kind of flow of the music. Yeah, it like, Wasserman's...
It needs to be bouncy.
Yeah, Wasserman's heavier style would just kind of bring Deno down, and it wouldn't be right.
Yeah, it'd
be like, you know, Power Rangers RPM's theme over Go On Your Footage. It just doesn't fit.
Well, that did happen sometimes, but
I know, and that was like the worst. That was the worst theme pairing for the imagery.
Yeah, it was a pretty terrible theme to begin with, anyway.
Yeah,
it was.
You just kinda skip the theme when you watch it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So now that we've finished talking about things that we'll never have, which make us sad, Paladin, tell us about things that we can have that will make us sad.
You mean like the legacy movie morpher?
Oh.
Because that's sad for a couple of reasons.
Sad because it looks terrible.
And it's out now.
Is that also a sad point?
I'd say so, yes.
Well, there's something else to clock. $59.99. There's something else to clog the shelf for a while.
Oh, speaking of clogging shelves,
Titanus?
Yes.
I guess.
Two facings worth.
Damn.
Really?
So two?
Four.
Still, that's a lot of space.
And let me tell you, that box is alarmingly light for $200.
I bet.
Actually, I've seen a couple Toys R Us's have raised its price now.
Really? Wait. How much did they bump it up?
$230.
Wow.
And, you know, it's like even like Metroplex. It kind of has a nice little heft to it. The box did, I thought. But
and that was only $120.
Fun.
Yeah, Metroplex. But I can't. Yeah, I can't see Titanus as being anything but light.
Like, the original Titanus had a weight to it, but, I mean, you know, it had a big motor in it.
Yeah, but this doesn't have the motor?
No. As far as I know, it doesn't.
Well, then. That
with how heavy the Dragon Zord is, it would have to be a heck of a motor.
I have never handled a Legacy Dragon Zord, so I have no idea about the weight of the
motor. It has a lot of die cast.
See?
It has an excessive amount of die cast.
See, so does RFC. So, like, if they had made the Dragon Zord, out of just plastic and sold it for $40, I would have been all over that damn thing.
Lots of people would have, but Bandai wants to be greedy. They know they can milk this fan base because they'll buy anything.
Because like they did a good job of remaking the Dragon Zord and balancing the toy needs with making it look more like in the show. Now, the tail was a complete misstep, the way it has to be in one whole piece on top of the staff.
Yeah.
Oh, but the tail looks good in Dragonzord mode. You know, they did a good job on that, and making it where it had to cost $80 just kind of killed my interest.
And that's why it's still shelf-warming.
And the Legacy Tiger Zord is probably going to be $80, isn't it?
Probably, yes.
It'll be more.
And that's a shame, too, because the Legacy Tiger Zord, I mean, it looks like they engineered in a lot of articulation into it, which is very interesting to me, but I don't want to... Tiger Zord's never been a favorite of mine, and I don't really want to lay out a bunch of money just because they actually, like, put joints in a Megazord.
Yeah.
If they actually had Thunder Zords to go along with it, I might at least think about it for a little while.
I mean, that's a point, too. Although, you know, you could totally find a way to cobble together Dragon Zord and Tiger Zord for, you know, penultimate Tommy action. Obviously, you'd need a Falcon Zord for ultimate Tommy action.
If I was going to be dropping $90 on a Zord, I'd probably just get, you know, Go Buster Ace or something that I'm actually, you know, care about.
Yeah.
Don't need $90 for Ace right now.
No, I think about $45 will do it.
Oh, really?
Go check Amazon. Then.
Well, I might have to go
around. Like, a little bit. You'll just keep talking.
$2,000 yen on Mandarake.
Do what?
I've seen it for like 2,000 yen on Mandarake.
Yeah, but then you get a 500 yen service fee and probably 1,500 in shipping, and you're back up to $40.
Yeah, EMS. It's gonna be EMS no matter what. I think on that one.
I think Mandarake only lets you do EMS.
Oh, they changed it. I haven't messed with Mandarake in a while. I thought they used to let you do Amazon. They used to let you do Sal, but that might.
They might do RSAL.
Yeah, registered.
But, I mean, that costs more, too.
Yeah,
and...
so at that point, you might as well do EMS.
Yeah, RSAL is, like, halfway between the price of regular and EMS. And by that point, yeah, just pay the a little bit more
unless
for EMS
you get,
and have it in a few days.
Except when you get over a certain size of package and EMS
then it does
is
have
cheaper.
To be EMS. Well, no, if it gets over a certain size of package, it has to be EMS because it's too big for the cell limits.
Yeah.
Sal can only fit so much inside.
Oh my.
I was really hoping Mickey would pay attention to that one.
Sorry, shopping.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. No, Mandarake is great. You just have to be, like, aware of what you're getting yourself into when you see something at a low price. Now, like, when I was assembling all these Sochaku Henshin Deno figures, and I got the platform and Momotaro set, which was 500 yen of Mandarake, factory sealed box, you know, that was cost effective because that thing don't weigh anything.
Right.
And I paid less than $20 shipped for it.
Yeah, so at that point, you might as well just eat that 500 yen fee and be...
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Or, you know, you could always add, you know, 40, you know, 4,000.
Yeah, another 4,500.
Yeah. Just add another 4,500 and stuff. That'll
no, like, you know, if
you... Right?
No, like, okay, so, like, my philosophy on Mandarake has always been, you know, if you're getting a small order, yeah, just eat the 500 yen service fee.
Right.
But if you're doing something over, like, 2,500 or 3,000... Look around for some other stuff to bundle on there because you're pretty close anyway. And
almost the sad thing is you can almost always find something.
The trick is just finding the thing you want at the same store as the first thing you want because it
That's
has to all be from the same.
From.
Yeah, it all has to be from the same store. Which was a problem for me when I was getting a bunch of stuff off Mandarake because, like, you know, one store would have three things I wanted, but the fourth thing was at a different location and. Yeah, I could order all of them, but two service fees, two shipping charges, and no. No. Did we have more news, or are we still stalling for Mickey to shop?
Just one other item of possible interest. Toei's apparently casting for another Kamen Rider crossover film this spring, and the first actor confirmed to return is Tetsuo Kurata from Kamen Rider Black RX.
Cool. But there's another interesting bit of that, too.
Probably just so they can have a chase, you know, racing scene between the Rideron and the Trideron.
Well, that and they're giving Black RX a new form.
Well, a new transformation, probably
That's
just
ambiguous
a new transformation.
Which one they mean there.
Yeah.
Furbus form?
Okay, now, how do you mean that it's ambiguous what they mean?
Some Best places Rider say Super new Furbus. Form, some places say new transformation.
Well... Really, with him, it's kind of the same thing, almost, because each rider is almost each form is almost like a entirely different rider with Black RX. You know, he gets different vehicles, and so I mean, he's basically the precursor to the modern form change rider.
Yeah,
more than anybody else. Even mm-hmm. if you know, even if you know super, even if you know
Sky Rider.
Was that
Sky Rider?
No, I'm thinking
Stronger.
Even yeah. Stronger had a different form. It's really the modern riders from Kuga on take after Black RX in that regard, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He is the most gimmicky of the Showa riders, isn't he?
He is.
But it worked for adaptation. No,
the new form will just be Kamen Rider J.
Yeah, Black...
No, Zeto.
Like, Black RX is basically like a three-rider show with one rider.
So, Mickey, how's the shopping going?
I'm done.
Oh, did you buy something?
Nope.
Oh.
Sad.
Well, kind of disappointed.
I want him to spend money.
Yeah, I know.
I spent enough money today. I want him to spend some.
And Hyper Teo is already up on Mandarake.
For how much?
7,000 yen.
That's a little high.
It's still half its sticker price.
I was going to say what's the retail on that, but okay.
Yeah. So do we think that... You think that they're just going to completely excise Sentai this time from the spring crossover movie? Just kind of phase that out?
I think they'll go back to Metal Hero so they can plug the new Figo Arts.
You know, that's a point.
That's possible. It'll probably be something other than just Kamen Rider, at least.
Or maybe just everyone with cars.
Huh.
Well,
Kabutak movie.
Oh yeah, I guess this is going to heavily feature Drive, isn't it?
Well, you know, if there's a Kabutak figure art, they're going to need to pimp that out somewhere. Oh, man, Drive Kabutech crossover. That would actually be an episode worth watching. And they're the right colors, too. This is perfect.
Except for the drive part.
Well, yeah.
I do kind of hope they can do another random TV Rider Sentai crossover around the same time. I kind of like that.
But with a different writer and a, you know.
Yeah.
Plot.
Yeah.
No. I didn't have an exception to, like, the level of plot in that crossover.
Yeah, because it's just a fun thing. It didn't need to happen.
Yeah. I didn't have an exception with that. It's
I don't want Drive.
Yeah, I don't really want a crossover with Drive.
That's a good point. I said that before I was thinking, and I was like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
I would like it to become a regular thing, at least.
Mickey, is that a KB Toys price tag on that?
Well, I don't know. I don't think so.
You know, with the red cross out and the number.
It's definitely in style.
Yeah.
Well, I like it.
That would just be weird if a KB Toys thing ended up on there.
Yeah.
Because, like, you just have to think what kind of journey that took to get from a mall in middle America all the way to Japan to a retail
shop.
It's
just as unlikely as my GoBuster toy ending up down the road from where I work on the store shelf.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that was really weird.
What are the odds that it would come to the one place with the one person here in town who might actually give a shit about it?
And
they even knew what it was.
Yeah.
They researched that shit.
No, they didn't. No. Like, they get Amazon backstock, right? That's mainly where their stuff comes
Amazon
from.
Amazon returns, yes. So Amazon's already classified.
Right. They just, all they have to do is, I think there's a thing you can get that you can scan barcodes into, and it will cross-reference them on Amazon.
Well, that's much less fun.
It is.
But still,
it is.
The odds that it ended up here,
right,
like
next
those
to me.
Q-cat things.
What? What?
This thing in the 90s that didn't turn out well.
Oh, the barcode scanner toy.
Yes.
Okay, I remember that now. Vaguely, but I remember that now. It was like
a contact reader?
It was like some kind of like fighting monster game.
No, this wasn't that. This was just something that you could use to look up stuff online. It was shaped like a cat. Because the entire point was that it wasn't a mouse. It was like a... It was...
Okay, so what I'm remembering is there was something like that, that you scanned barcodes and it generated monsters, you know, like Digimon. I don't remember what it was called, but
I remember what it was. It's some kind of... Oh, I can remember like commercials of like a kid walking down a grocery store aisle and just scanning everything in sight.
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't go over very well either. Apparently, barcode scanning is just not popular with the kids. Little did they know they were being trained for their later career. Sorry, Ken, I know that hits a little close to home.
A little bit.
It's always felt so bad when people would buy toy cash registers for the kids. Like, this shit ain't fun.
Do you know? So you obviously have not worked retail.
Well, it's fun when you can stop whenever you want to.
Well, why don't you get them some toy garbage bags so they can pretend being garbage men?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Or some toy whiskey so they can pretend being a public school teacher.
Well.
Actually, that does sound kind of fun.
Toy whiskey. It's real whiskey. It's just a smaller bottle.
It's plastic. It's got like a sippy cup on it.
So they can, you know, practice going into debt at an early age.
Well, the toy cash registers usually came with toy credit cards.
Yeah. Oh, even better.
Did they?
Oh, and I remember, there was a shopping mall board game that had a credit card and credit card reader.
Yes, there was.
So actually, Ken, there was exactly that.
Was it Shopping Spree?
Maybe. I bet YouTube has the answer.
It's certainly... Oh, it's Mall Madness.
Okay, guess what commercial's going in the break this episode?
Okay. Look at this Blossom-ass shit right here.
Well, that was the time when Blossom was popular, so...
This board game ain't no good reason for feeling all depressed.
But we do know about the future, and it's full of debt.
Wow. That is very Blossom.
It is.
To a frightening degree.
That is the only way to describe it.
Yeah.
It's like, that is it. That it makes it an adjective.
That's so Blossom.
It's not very Raven, though.
No.
No, not at all. Oh, no, she has her daddy's credit cards.
Did you know they made a That's So Raven Game Boy game?
Yes.
Or DS game, maybe?
I almost bought it for us a couple of times for a present. They actually made two of them. There's a sequel, That's So Raven 2.
Yes. I think I saw a gag review of it in the back of the EGM once.
I saw someone play it on a live stream once.
Oh, my God.
It was kind of amazing.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Almost as amazing as when I watched somebody play through Sonic Boom the other week.
Ew.
Oh,
you watched it?
It's like the most horrifying thing, but you can't look away.
Am I going to catch something from talking to you?
Yes. You probably already have, actually.
Is it actually worse than the new Assassin's Creed?
Do I have SIDS now?
It's worse than Sonic 06.
Ew.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It actually sounds kind of enticing now. I mean,
like it is not. I don't know if it would be like in your entertainingly bad category that you like, but it's
like it may not be Catwoman.
No, it's not Catwoman. Well,
or is it?
So what you're saying is we're going to see this show up in the Toys R Us Super Deals Star Sticker Selection very soon.
Very soon.
20 or under.
Mm-hmm.
Was that all the news, Paladin?
Yeah, I should probably just assume that's all the news.
I mean, it's not like we were talking about the news anyway.
Yes. I think we left off on Black RX at some point. There's an extended version of the Super Mega Force finale, but who cares?
The important thing is we talked about Blossom-themed board games instead of Drive.
How did we get from Black RX to Mall Madness?
I don't know. I am not surprised in the least by it.
It's kind of amazing, actually.
What are we even doing? How did this happen?
This is superhero time.
Oh, right. Okay, so we don't have Drive this week. Yay!
Sounds so elated at that.
But we have a double dose of Tokuger.
Yes.
More like one and a half, really.
Double dose of Tokuger.
What? Even if it's shorter, one is good enough to be that much.
Mm-hmm.
It makes up in quality.
Quality.
Not quantity.
Yes. I know you almost got that wrong.
I totally did.
Quality.
I think Paladin's having some quality over there too.
Did he have some quality for dinner? Jesus.
What did you have for dinner, Paladin?
Leftover pizza.
Is it coming back up on you?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. See, my problem when I eat pizza is that like it doesn't go all the way down. It just kind of sits for a few days.
Oh, wow. It's
all the way down, then sits for a few days.
I wish I could have anything sit for a few days.
It's not as fun as it sounds.
Well, Ken, maybe you should just eat more five-year-old pizzas.
On second thought. Was it only five? I thought it was more than that.
No, something like five.
It's like every time I think of it, the amount of time extends in my head.
Well, it's like every time we joke about Fort Max's age, it just gets lower.
Yeah. That pizza always gets older.
And yet, I'm the only one who actually remembers Fort Max's true age. Happy birthday a couple weeks ago, Fort Max.
You're 12, right?
Like so.
Sure.
So, anyway, do we want to do the hyper battle first or the regular episode first?
Somebody toss a coin.
Okay, fine. Ken, you do the regular episode.
Okay. Now?
Yes, now.
Okay, let me switch up.
a professional podcast.
I had the hyperbattle already. Oh, no, I never claimed that. So, where are we? Okay, chugging along, as usual.
On the Rainbow Line.
Yes, of course. Where else? So Akira's out, driving around aimlessly, basically. They think he's, you know, possibly doing something with some kind of purpose or whatever, maybe looking for their hometown or something. But in fact, ever since they got the drill Russia back, he's been just kind of going places somewhere aimlessly.
He's just drilling everything in sight.
Yeah. So, obviously, this probably ties into whatever the condition that Schwartz handed him last episode. But, well...
We still don't know.
I don't know that is yet. Probably won't end in anything good for Akira.
Probably not.
No. But, well, as they...
he might finally find his place to die.
Possibly. So, anyway, the Rainbow Line comes to a stop, and... they recognize the place that they're stopping. And everybody rushes out, nearly running over conductor and ticket in the process. So what they remember is that this is where a teaching assistant that they remember when they were from when they were children was going to university.
Okay. It's an arbitrary thing to remember, but
well, she left an impression on them, so they remember where she was from, and as they come
right, she was pretty and a girl, and yes.
And Hikari's hot for teacher.
Well, yes.
Apparently everybody – it seems like everybody was
even
hot for teacher,
years
even
old.
The girls.
Yes, even the girls. Even Pio and Kagura.
Even little Annie.
So, yes. Even. Anyhow, so they all split up and go searching for her on the campus. Immediately, Takati and Kagura run across two girls and – Kagura tries to point something out. He's like, and Takati gets distracted by breasts. and Kagura has to crane his
head.
Hey,
wait, this thing works now, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, he went right through puberty. do not pass go. Do not collect.
Squeak. Never mind.
Yes. Let's not go there. So, yeah, actually, she's trying to point out that there is a shadow monster who is a fountain pen, which is, as usual, kind of great. But his ability – yes.
I love the design. Cause I, oh, the head's a fountain pen tip. That's awesome. What's the shit wrapped around his shoulder? And two or three scenes later, I realized, oh, my God, that is a hand holding a pen over his shoulder.
Yes, uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Takes you a while to realize that.
But yeah, once it dawns on you, it's like, oh my god.
The monster designers for the series, do they have like a PayPal account where I can make donations?
So let me go ahead and tell you, the suit design next week is rather more sedate than we're used to, but they found a great way to make up for it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I like to hear that.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway... another amazing monster, Takati gets a... okay, the monster's ability is to basically grade people. And so he grades everybody a zero, and that just, you know, saps all the life out of them, you know, all their motivation, anything, all that kind of fun stuff. So first what happens is Takati's glasses get graded a zero, and they break.
And they explode off his face, basically.
Yeah.
So he is very, very depressed over this. Everybody has to kind of, you know, the girls have to kind of get him on back on his feet as Wright doesn't seem to give a crap.
right, but you're kind of missing the best part of this too, when they transform and he's like all half-assed it. Cause
oh yeah, I was getting there. They transform. Okay. They transform. He just kind of, you know, kind of half-assedly flicks up the morpher and then just kind of goes back to his knees and pulls off the train tracks on his helmet. Mio has to pat him on the head and reattach him. He's like, come on, get up.
And as you can see, as they lift the train tracks up, they're a little springy somehow. How does that work?
I don't know. But you can't see it's a different prop once they're off, but
yeah, it's bigger.
Yeah, it's bigger. And then also when the monster is about to spray the, you know, spray them all with his ink.
Oh, yeah.
He pulls the visor down completely on his helmet for just like a split second before it cuts to another shot.
And then they all line change to Tokyo Black.
Yeah. From his ink. He spurred all of his ink.
From his hand work.
Yes.
I'm sorry, hand job.
Don't miss the job.
No. Of course, this is one of Noir's monsters, of course.
Which is why it's shooting all over them?
I guess. I don't know. It's just that Noir has like a 30-second scene, and that's all we see of her, granted goodness.
Sure, the ink can have a mosaic over it.
It is Japan.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Hikari, meanwhile, is doing something useful, and finds Sakura. Who looks rather different than how
she
he remembers
basically
her.
Turned into Elizabeth from Double, didn't she?
Basically. Basically, she did. Now, she is completely, acting completely different and doesn't recognize him at all, of course, because she was 9. but she also, as we'll find out, she does not remember their hometown at all, which is actually a plot point. But we'll get that.
What I like here is, like, Kari shows up. He's like, hey, do you remember me? He's like, oh, yeah. You were from that orgy I went to.
Okay, so, like I love the line here.
Intro quote.
Oh, were you from the group date? Sorry, I had a lot to drink that night.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, like, all of his, you know, innocent childhood ideals are just, like, shattered in an instant.
And he's like, hey, do you remember hometown? Yeah, I totally remember that place.
Want to go make out?
You just hear the wheels grinding in her head, thinking, where do I know this guy from? I don't remember a thing he's talking about. How drunk was I?
Oh, God. Does he have some kind of disease? You know, that's one of those, like, you know, you can read into things, but it goes completely over your kid's head.
Yeah.
So anyway, the monster ends up trying to shoot at him. Hikari drags her off while the Tokusers run in. And as he's about to attack them, he's all out. He came to
spent. Yeah, he's spent.
So today's lecture is canceled.
Yes.
And he teleports away using a blackboard.
Yes. Anyhow, and so they see Hikari trying to talk to her, and they all remember their, you know, they
flashback their special experiences with their teacher.
Yes. Their special. Well, yes, special experiences with the teacher. How much right sucks?
Want to rephrase that a little bit?
No, we'll get to that.
How special was his experience with teacher?
Yeah,
he got an A for effort.
Yes. That's what we'll get to. Oh, anyway. So anyhow, but she doesn't remember a damn thing. She thought she could Google it, but it didn't work either.
I like that moment right there because, like, you think she's just being an ignoring bitch and just getting herself in texting. No, she actually was trying to figure out what was going on.
It actually is kind of like bothering her. It's like, why don't I remember this? These people seem to remember this. How drunk was I? of course, the monster is not... he actually has quite a bit of stamina because he's back up.
Well, like, you know, he goes and gets some crows and examines them for how black they are. Which is exactly what happened. And then the one he decides is the blackest... he absorbs for more ink.
Yeah?
He sucks him in.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. All
he, in. Yeah, he completely took him in.
Totally.
Every last
him right
in.
Up.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he doesn't even need crows. He just goes out by himself.
Well, no, he does need the crows, because, you know, what happens when he runs out of ink next time.
For ammunition, but that's about it. So anyway, the other four Tokusers go off to face him and handily get taken apart.
handily.
Yes. So, first, you know, Takati goes down.
Well, first, they're a failure of a Sentai because there's only four of them.
Yes, that too. Like, one, two, three. Wait, where's four?
It was a completely failed Sentai.
Yeah. So, anyway.
They're rape trains. They were rape trains.
I was hoping we wouldn't go there, and yet there we are.
You should know better than the hope.
Oh, well, let's not get into wizard territory now. So anyway, Takati goes down, then I'm so going with that. Then, you know, Kagura's apparently put on some weight. And so Kagura, Mio's put on some weight, and Kagura's not strong enough. So, well, so you have Kagura in a fetal position, Mio just laying about, and Takati, you know, just sitting on his ass. So, but that's okay when
But they all get reassigned to Tokyo Zero.
Oh yes, Tokyo Zero, Tokyo Number
because
Zero.
Because that is actually a thing.
Yeah. I guess it's easy to change up the number in the helmet.
It must be. I mean, it's not like they're going to have five different helmets or whatever number they would
need. Well, they do have five different helmets, but that's
no, no. You know what I mean? Though. It's not like they're, like they're going to have.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're not going to have a separate helmet for every color.
Well, they're just like a label taped over the chest.
Well, yeah, that part's a little more obvious.
Yeah,
but
okay. Anyhow, that's okay because Wright is completely used to getting zero, so he is not unaffected. Meanwhile, Hikari is still trying to talk sense into Sakura, but she's like, "Well, I don't have any hopes and dreams." But he reminds her that she did, and her dream was to actually, you know, be a teacher and, you know, help other people. But
help other people with things that don't involve drinking a lot and
yes,
you know, group activities.
Apparently,
that's what we're calling it now.
So yeah. Anyway, meanwhile, Wright is unaffected because he's a fucking idiot. I mean, sorry.
And he knows it.
But you know, so he grades him as -100. Tokyo -100. That
a
does
new low.
Yes.
That even does, for Wright.
Yeah, that does knock him on his ass. But that's okay because Hikari runs in, grabs Hyperesha, and there is a nice little bit here where he is, you know, starts beating the crap out of the shadow while the Resha is flying around.
Yeah, it's like the longest delay for a hyper train.
But it's kind of cool where it happens because when he brings his sword down, and that's when it, you know, goes over his chest.
Yeah.
Blocks it. It's very nifty little bit of direction, I think.
Hikari's entrance into the scene is amazing, and the music cue that cuts straight into the hard part of the theme song is amazing.
Yes. Yeah, that's
he just backflips over the crying Wright and just the theme song kicks up with Go For It, and it's like, action's on, I'm here to beat your ass.
Mm-hmm. It's like...
no roll call pose, I'm here, this is on, let's go.
Like, we only see him transform.
Yeah.
It's like, suddenly it's Tokyo Number 4. Okay.
And then we get magical flying train kicking shit while he's busting his ass with an axe.
Yeah, and it's like, and he beats him single-handedly completely.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he really was hot for teacher. if he wasn't before, he is now.
Hey, this thing works now.
He has a completely different reaction than Takati in that regard. Whereas Takati is still trying to, has been trying to figure that out for about 35 episodes now. but okay, as the shadow blows up, that's okay. Finally, Akira shows up. He's being very Tommy this week. and Bill Dio, you know, attacks and he beats the shadow. Hey, that's cool, right? Oh, wait. Apparently this shadow has absorbed so much darkness, he can grow again.
Because they had to find a half-assed way to make the monsters in scale with Tokyo Rainbow.
Well, I don't think it's really that half-assed.
Okay.
Anything
so...
involving Tokyo Rainbow is half-assed.
Point, but for context, let's look back at previous cases where there's been a scale change in the Megazord. Think back to Lightspeed Rescue.
Yeah,
where the Super Train originally towers over everything.
Didn't they just kind of ignore it?
Well, that's That started changing. That changed about the time Diabolico went out and fought and died. Because Diabolico grew straight up to Super Train size, defeated the Super Train, then they brought up the Lightspeed Megazord, and he was then the same size as the Lightspeed Megazord.
Even before that fight, like, I just remember when I was watching GoGo 5, that happened a couple times before, Dang. Like, like in the episode, or the two-parter where they, had those three really strong demons, and, that, you know, where the Carter or, Matoy used that suicide shot. And I don't remember if it made it into Lightspeed Rescue, but there's one part where, like, Victor Robo loses an arm. And so you have both the Grand Liner and Victor Robo fighting at the same time. And there was a couple shots where it's like, they just completely just were not paying attention to the scale.
I don't remember that specifically, so they may have cut around that, because I think they used that to introduce Max Solar Zord.
Because I don't think that they... They left the dismembered Victory Robo in Lightspeed Rescue.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time there was a Megazord with an arm missing in Power Rangers.
Yeah.
But I don't specifically remember that at this point, but it's been a while since I've seen Lightspeed all the way through.
But regardless, they quickly forgot Grand Liner or Super Train was supposed to be freaking huge.
But I'm going to give Tokyo your point here for at least, like, inventing a mechanism by which, okay, monster starts at this scale and has the potential to scale up again.
Yeah.
And not just, it like, works. Hand wave it away it, that, kinda, like, okay, kinda, well, that's taller, so let's get taller, too.
It kind of has an explanation, too, because it's just that this monster was really, really effective. He had already gathered up a lot of darkness, so he had, you know, darkness to spare.
Mm-hmm. And they can use that whenever they want to going forward. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if it involves Tokyo Rainbow, it's half-assed. Paladin's right about that.
Tokyo Rainbow is amazing. You shut your whore mouth.
And they use the theme again.
The suit is amazing. The design and the toy are terrible.
I don't even...
What toy? There's no toy.
Looking at the design, just the design for the suit itself, I don't... There's nothing really wrong with it, I don't think. It is a clusterfuck, but it's not.
The suit de-emphasizes everything that's wrong with it, though.
Yeah, it's true. That's probably why it looks better.
Yeah, of course.
So all I'm talking about is the suit I see in the show, and I like it. It's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't look at the toy. I've seen the photo of the toy one time, and I haven't looked at it again. I look at the suit every time I watch the show. So that's what I care about.
I have not even seen the toy that many times.
But hot shit, the theme song.
Yes.
That's a great theme song.
I can't wait to get that.
Oh, you will. You will.
Oh, yes. So anyway, as the monster is defeated, apparently Sakura is back to normal. She remembers her dream, even if she doesn't remember the town. So, you know...
She's normal-ish.
Normal-ish.
That's about as good as you can hope for with the Tokyo Futures.
All's well that ends well, I guess.
Maybe less drinking, you know, less orgies.
Well, now let's not get insane here. She can have her Do dream. They... She can have her dream 9 to 5 and still, you know.
Okay, not drank enough to the point where she doesn't forget the orgies.
You're not blackout drunk.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Gotta enjoy it.
Just blitz enough to make poor decisions.
Yeah. I mean, what's the point of an orgy if you can't remember it and regret it the next day?
Yeah.
That's true.
The intro quote?
Sure, why not? So, anyway, preview.
Well, now, before the preview, right before the train corner, there's this bizarre-ass shot of conductor saying, I thought we were going to talk about my boats. What? What?
I have no idea what that means.
I think that's the point.
I guess so.
But now I want to know about his boats.
Why does Conductor have boats?
You will never know about his boats. Wow, somebody fell into a bucket.
What?
Yeah, you.
Me?
You fell into the bucket.
Balls pop out of his mouth?
Oh, my audio quality just went to shit.
Did we lose Fort Max along the way?
Nope.
Hold on, let me. I have the idea.
Okay, everybody sounds awful.
Okay, it's hard to keep track sometimes.
Everybody sounds awful?
Yeah.
Well, that's just normal.
Okay. 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 Now it's back. Now it's back. No, same time as you? Yes. Okay. So it wasn't just me. That was weird. Skype.
Skype.
So anyway, next week, Akira's being a little bit less Tommy and actually showing up in the episode as Takati laments over how much of a miserable failure he is. Awesome.
Sounds legit.
Yeah, so and we get to see some Zaram and Schwartz in the episode, so that'll be next week.
So now it's time for the really special part of the episode, Mickey's yes. Hyper Battle.
Special.
Let's see if it'll play.
Guess we should have checked on this before.
Because this
yeah.
is the, I don't always have the best luck with them. It appears to be working at the moment, but I don't know if they'll screw up if I try and pause or anything.
Well, then we better just make this quick. Make it quick, but capture every detail.
Okay, so Hyper Battle, which I still don't know what Hyper Battle actually means, but whatever. We'll continue anyway.
It means free magazine giveaway.
Yes, but why Hyper Battle?
I don't know.
Because it sounds
because
cool.
That's what the Ryuki video was called or something.
So it's a legacy name.
Yes, basically.
Well, okay. they haven't used the name since Fize, and they've never used it for Sentai.
Oh, really?
It's been super videos for Sentai before.
Has it? I could have sworn that they earlier. Anyway.
Well, anyway, the important thing is that Akira wakes up with his
as he dreams of dying,
still on his hand last night.
He wakes up from his drunken orgy.
Yes. I like how the first thing you see is something jostling right between his legs.
I like that too.
Probably for different reasons.
Probably.
So, surprise, his right hand has got ticket all over it.
Mm-hmm. So this entire video basically confirms, I think, some of our speculation.
No, it makes it even
better.
We'll talk about this at the end.
Okay, go on.
So, ticket's on his arm. It won't come off. And apparently, you can have your own ticket on your arm for the low price of 3,000 yen.
Plus shipping and handling.
And middleman fees.
And it won't look half as good.
Well, of course not. Until it takes over your brain.
Well, so by that point, you'll cease to care.
While Akira is explaining his dire situation to Wright, Wright looks in his general direction while he continues to eat every scrap of food on the planet Earth.
Because, of course, that is what he does.
Well, and they're eating Emo Yokons. Somehow they're not growing to giant size.
Or is the train just giant around them?
I don't get that reference.
Car Ranger.
Oh.
In Car Ranger, the monsters grew by eating the Emo Yokon.
What is an Emo Yokon anyway?
Like a soybean paste bar or something.
I thought it was just a stick of butter that he was chewing on.
That is kind of what it looks like, to be honest.
Well,
oh,
what
butter!
Kind of,
oh.
What kind of solid butter have you seen that's that translucent? Because I think you need to be getting some better butter.
Really, a really cheap butter?
Aldi yeah, that's butter. Like that sounds like really watered down. What?
Aldi butter.
Oh, Aldi butter is really good though.
Oh, is it? Oh.
That's basically all I buy. It's really good quality.
Oh, okay.
Cheaper too.
Well, Wright doesn't see what the big deal is because Ticket's just a puppet.
Yeah, so like Akira has this whole thing going on where like he is stuck to my hand, he won't come off, help me, and Wright's just like yeah, I don't believe a word you're saying, dude. That's a puppet.
He went to the wrong Tokuger.
Is there a right Tokuger to help him with this?
He is the right Tokuger.
That's who he's with.
Any other questions, Paladin?
So many.
So, one question that's been answered immediately is Ticket just Conductor pretending? No, he's not.
Well, it still could be. Conductor could just be like behind the next table, and
Conductor could be actually be inside Akira's pants with his arms running out through his sleeves.
You know,
how did
he might
Conductor
be
pull him off in that one episode?
Because Ticket willed it so.
Yeah.
Remember, Ticket is in control. We established this with the precedent.
Mm-hmm.
Or
Chicken is taking control.
Yeah, he will be in control one day.
So they try various hilarious sitcom ways to get Ticket off of Akira, including lubing him up real good.
Try to shoot him with the Rainbow Rush.
Yeah,
I like that.
Hey, they remembered that existed.
But damn, this thing's heavy.
I love how Wright is dumb enough to pull a gun on it.
Yeah.
Like if you replace the Tokyo Cannon with like a handgun.
Yeah. Okay, so like
totally different vibe to that scene.
I
don't want to die so much anyway.
So this is the equivalent of somebody's accidentally locked handcuffs around themselves.
Yes.
So their friend is like, okay, hold really still. I'm going to shoot the lock. No, totally. This will work. Just stay right. Be still. I won't hit you. I promise.
So, Wright and Akira tussle on the floor trying to get Ticket off. And enters Caboose. And says,
because that's what
an orgy. But I wasn't invited. I'm getting in on this.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who saw it that way.
How can anyone see anything she does as not being sexually charged?
I know, right?
It's just so weird because she's vamping to nobody. Nobody sees her as being sexual at all.
No.
Just the internet, but...
Just her.
Well, yeah, just us, basically. But in the show, everything she's doing is just like she's doing it to an empty room.
Mm-hmm.
So, but she does have the great idea. Why don't you just ask Ticket what's going on? And he explains that he has to become Tokyo 6 because when he was living in New York and his beautiful white girlfriend, Jennifer, she got killed by his rival. What was it, Krabos?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Or Kratos? Kratos? God of War, right?
Kratos.
I have a hard time moving.
Crab cakes.
Well, Captain Quabs.
Crab Ticket.
He kills Jennifer, and so now it's Vendetta. And at this sad story, being related to them through a slideshow of terrible art.
Which Akira questions where the hell they got that from.
You know what's bad when Akira is questioning this?
Akira's comments on how hard-boiled it all is.
It's a tragic backstory.
Yes. And she sheds a single tear from her eye. Wait, from a what now? Where'd that tear come from?
If you gotta ask, you don't wanna know.
This is like when Kimberly sneezed through her helmet.
Yeah. And anyway, nobody's quite believing this story anyway, so.
Wright's just kind of sitting there okay.
But to be fair, it's Wright. That's all he knows.
And continues to eat.
Yeah.
I like Wright a lot better when he's not saying a lot. He's just kind of sitting there looking blankly and eating.
Yeah.
He's a lot confusing that way.
Yes. Let Hikari talk or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just have Wright be there and be stupid and hungry.
Wright is just the figurehead.
Yeah.
Wright basically needs to be Shinken Red, but without being a dick.
Yeah, it is clear in the series,
Wright is Mega Red.
It is very clear. He's definitely Mega Red. He is not the actual. He's kind of the spiritual leader, maybe, but he is not the leader. That is definitely Hikari.
He's the lunch leader.
Yeah,
he's the leader as far as all the technology revolves around his color.
Yeah, basically.
And but yeah, I mean, he's Shinken Red without being a dick. He sits there and everybody just kind of works around him.
No, except Shinken Red was an actual leader. He actually did things. He devised.
Look, you're ruining this.
So Mega Red's the better comparison, I think.
All right, enough similes. Let's get on to hot crab action.
Oh.
All right, so we're going to the duel. And as we walk into the scene, we see Schwartz there standing around. Now, as we're watching this, David turns to me and says, "You know, it'd be absolutely amazing if this crab guy is a puppet too." No sooner did the words exit his mouth.
Lo and behold.
Crab Guy doesn't need a hand puppet.
And
he looks amazingly adorable. He's got little crabby eyes coming off the top of his shell and little claw
arm. I just love how out of place he looks on Schwartz, of all people. Like, the most serious, probably like one of the most serious characters in the entire series.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a crab puppet.
And Schwartz probably just woke up with this guy too, didn't he?
He is like, yes. Oh, damn it. He's like, Schwartz is just like walking through this entire scenario. He's like, okay, I'm just gonna do this, then I'm gonna go home.
And we will never speak of this again.
But it had to be Schwartz because Schwartz is Akira's rival.
Right, of course.
And it won't work any other way.
No, of course.
Schwartz is the Toku version of the guy that plays Ron Swanson on Parks and Recreation, Nick Offerman. I guess no one watches that, huh? Okay, well, let's move on.
No.
Cylon.
Eh.
Okay. Well, the crab puppet's pretty awesome. He talks all flappy-mouthed, which is adorable. And he's got this weird, shouty, half-American voice.
Well, he's from New York.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got the beautiful line, something like, me not speak Japanese very good.
Yeah.
So how do we think TV Nihon did that line?
I don't want to even know.
They probably turned it into broken Japanese.
I don't want to even know.
By which I mean the only Japanese they know.
Oh!
So it's Morphin time. Including, you know, Tokyo 1, Tokyo 6, and Ticket 6. In the most adorable transformation sequence ever.
Yes! I like that they got better. They feel like, oh, we still have this laying around. from Akira's introduction. It's like,
because they weren't going to make that and not use it.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Well, look, they can stitch together a puppet in an afternoon. Making the little helmet probably is where all the effort went into.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That helmet with the little ticket crown.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So the battle is joined as the two puppets race towards each other. And the crab's yelling, crab, 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 as he runs towards them.
Crab, 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 crab.
And poor Wright's just stuck dealing with the crows.
Crustaceans are the best.
Well,
innately hilarious. So as Wright wages epic battle against the crows, we cut back to Schwartz and Akira and their puppets.
Explosions. Only in the air.
Still, well, the puppets are just sort of like hand fighting.
I like how the explosion is just like in the air.
Yeah.
It's not actually from the ground. And they're just standing there like, okay.
Yeah, they do the tight up shot with the explosion in the back. And it looks like a normal explosion battle. And then they cut halfway in the middle of the explosion. And yeah, it's just like on their arms.
Yes.
Like, you could see that Akira's arm was like a half step away from catching on fire,
yeah.
As happens in the best of Toku stunt sequences.
Yes.
Listen, if you're not catching someone on fire when you're doing this action sequence, you've done it wrong. Burn more people.
Yeah, just like in Tyson Z.
Okay, the three of you, stand right here. No, right here. Don't move. Don't move. Okay, it's going to be fine. Okay. Launch it!
Oh god, it burns!
We're gonna need another Timmy.
This fabric is...
It's almost the Lightspeed Rescue Mega Battles.
I know!
This fabric is not flame retardant!
No, this totally won't catch on fire. It'll just melt onto your skin. Don't worry about it.
Oh, Jesus.
So anyway, puppets.
Yes, so eventually Schwartz says, you know what, enough of this shit, I'm attacking. And he attempts to cut down Akira and Ticket, demorphing them, while Wright stalls for time, they pull out a Deus Ex Machina train.
Ah, oh, yes, the thing they were selling for the magazine.
Yes, and then Tokyo 6 becomes Fresh Tokyo 6.
Hey, for Gaim.
He goes super orange.
Yeah, I know, Paladin, that's the joke. Son of a bitch. You can't let me have anything, can you?
Apparently not.
This is why I gave you to Fort Max.
Well, Fresh Tokyo Orange slings a train at Schwartz. And massive explosion. Wright jumps in the scene to celebrate, because apparently he's not going to be left out of this. But oh no, they've survived. Except just long enough to say one more thing, and the crab puppet falls off Schwartz's arm.
I think
it's
the only time I've ever seen Overtime use an honorific.
Mm-hmm.
But it works with the broken English.
Yeah.
Broken,
yeah.
Sir.
I'm sure that's why they kept it.
Yeah.
Broken. Well, never mind. Move on.
Broken language. Like us.
Speak for yourself.
You can't.
So,
talk for you.
You have your moments. Everybody does.
Crab was dead, falling on the ground. Short says, "You know what? Whatever. I'm leaving." And the crab explodes into a cloud of bubbles, which is awesome.
Like, the only thing I kind of wish was different was when the puppet hit the ground, just have like a little, like, not even like a fireball, just like a dust explosion or something. You know, miniaturized monster explosion would have been perfect there.
Yeah.
Just want an explosion at the Sudector's feet.
Yeah. It's not like they wouldn't.
Yeah, that's true. Safety practices? What's that?
That's for the Americans.
And the sad thing is, they're still safer than they were back in the 70s.
When they threw people off of bridges.
And broke their actors break their legs on motorcycles.
Yeah. It was great.
Main actor. Had to be replaced for a year.
Yeah, when they let the main actor be the guy in the suit.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It can't possibly go wrong.
There's nothing good.
It's like
well
Ken
done.
Has Paladin's script.
Of course, they didn't entirely learn their lesson, because, like, in Gaim, Marika's suit actor was Yoko.
Yeah. That was just impressive, though.
What happened to her?
Well, yeah.
Well, nothing really happened to her, but it
that's
could
that's
happen.
That's what I mean.
Oh, well, that's a good point.
Well.
Anyway.
At the sight of his rival falling, Ticket dies, sort of, for no reason.
No!
And it's very sad.
Maybe he's just been living all this time to obtain his revenge, and with that satisfied, he just doesn't need to go on anymore.
Even better, though, then they bury him with Bill Dio. They have to use Bill Dio to bury a small puppet, by the way.
Yes.
Well, I mean, look at it from practicality. Like, the teeth on Bill Dio's shovel, all you're going to do is rake one of those in a couple times, and you've got a hole deep enough for the puppet.
Couple times!
Yeah. Bury, like, 40 stories beneath the surface of the earth.
Yes.
Well, you know, you want to make sure that he's not so close to the surface that somebody's going to come along and dig him up.
Right.
He won't escape.
Yeah.
Yes, can't have that. And there's a sword randomly at the grave.
Yeah, where did they get that sword?
Quiet. Ticket sword, obviously.
Obviously.
Clearly.
The one he used all the time.
Ticket, no Ken.
So,
but...
You're right?
No.
So Wright and Akira slowly make the way back to the train to break everyone the bad news that their puppet Ticket died in battle.
You know, you'd think Conductor would be the most broken up about this, but...
Oh, no Conductor. There's no Conductor in this episode.
Yeah, it's very much a bottle episode.
Oh, it totally is a bottle episode.
That all hyperbatic, all of these are, but, you know, go on.
So they enter the train, and they see Caboose
wagging her ass.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Wagon, Caboose, whatever.
It's the same thing.
No, that's what I'm saying. Caboose is wagging her ass.
Oh, right.
And she's got help.
Yes.
Because there's Ticket on her.
He lives!
With absolutely no explanation at all, and that is terrifying.
I could not ask for anything greater. He is an eldritch abomination from hell.
Are there multiple tickets? Is this the same one?
Well, okay, so like what you have to understand
which is more horrifying to you?
No. Okay, so I got this worked out. Like, there can be an endless number of incarnations of Ticket that are all like the original source Ticket. They're just all one embodiment. They're all the embodiment of one spirit of Ticket. So that no matter how many times you kill him, there's just more of him, and he'll keep returning forever. And
he cannot die. The entire Rainbow Line could blow up, and he would be the sole survivor.
Well, probably him and Bunny. But yeah, this Hyper Battle video certainly seems to support some of my ideas.
It does!
Yes, and I like the fact that it answers questions about Ticket and only gives us more questions.
Basically. Yes.
I was like, normally with these things, I just kind of take them with a grain of salt and like, okay, yeah, that's funny. And it's like, no, this is my canon now.
Right, I mean, this establishes Ticket is an entity.
Yes!
Like, the Force Hyper Battle video is canon. It got referenced later.
You know, I've never seen that.
Well, yeah, and he uses the clear drill switch when he turns into fusion states.
Yeah, well, and the fact that there was that they brought up that time that they got stuck in the Amazon.
Yeah, which I don't. It's one of those things. Like, how did that? No, never mind. I don't want to try to explain.
Yeah, you're just gonna spoil the fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm like reinforced in my belief that the Rainbow Line is itself just made up of these parasitic puppet beings that overtake humans eventually, and that's how they propagate themselves.
Yes, that was the entire reason I wanted to go over this, because it's like, oh my god, we're onto something.
I think this may be, is this better than the GoBuster Super video?
Well, it's just
we never
completely...
watched that, did we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
That's the one where Enter gets the turns into Beat Buster.
You know, Beat Enter.
With that badass coat.
Yeah.
Looking cooler than Jin did.
I miss Enter.
Everybody misses Enter.
Paladin doesn't remember this at all.
Yeah, unless you're a horrible human being, but you know.
That's probably why then.
Oh, okay.
No, we totally watched that.
And it has on Jay sitting on his throne.
Yes. That was an odd one because it used a lot more cast members than these things normally do. Because it used everybody, actually, of the main cast.
Usually these things just use Red and the Sixth.
Yeah, normally. But that one, because that had Ryuji, Yoko, Hiromu, Jin, Jay, of course he's a suit actor, and Enter. So yeah, it used about everybody.
But it didn't use any of the base personnel.
No, it didn't use any of them. But it used all the Rangers. And the human villain. So that was a bit more than usual, and it's kind of surprising considering GoBusters and how it's like the redheaded stepchild of Toei now.
GoBusters was something else.
Yeah.
That we'll never, ever see again.
No.
But Tokyo's still good, so.
Yep. Tokyo's good, and Tokyo Hyper Battle video gives us a lot of fridge horror.
Yes.
And I'm okay with this.
Yes. And a lot of regular horror.
No, that's Garo, but we'll talk about that next year. So, we're going to take a break, and we're going to have the precursor to our holiday-themed episodes with a little something for Thanksgiving.
Which is holiday.
Which is almost more of a Christmas episode that aired in the spring of 1995.
Oh, Power Rangers.
Go, go, Podcast Rangers! You mighty morphing Podcast Rangers! Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?
Shoo! Gooey Louie just sneezed. Look what came out of his nose. Gooey's. Pull one out, but watch out. Pick the wrong one, and he'll flip his lid. Oh, no. His brains flew out. Go ahead and pick a winner. Gooey Louie by Goliath.
Got your credit card?
Time! It's Mall Madness.
Sale at the shoe store.
The shop till you drop game that really talks.
At the fashion boutique.
It's all the fun of a shopping spree. With Mall Madness, you get it all. A bank account and your own credit card.
Clearance at the sunglass boutique.
Mall Madness really talks. To win, buy everything on your list and be first out of them all.
I win!
Attention, mall shoppers.
Mall Madness, the electronic shopping game that really talks. From Milton Bradley, it's the mall with it all.
Someone's Power Ranger.
Power playback this week is Storybook Rangers from late-ish season 2 of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, which is always a source of interesting concepts.
Don't wait for dummy.
Best man for the job.
Now, is my understanding that Fort Max actually wrote all of the last half of season 2?
That would explain how he wasn't born yet.
Ghost Riders?
No, Fort Max was just very advanced.
Like her.
So anyway, this is totally not a holiday episode from totally not a holiday time of year, but it's got strong ties to Thanksgiving and Christmas, which kind of makes it perfect for our lead-in to our Christmas special extravaganza starting next month.
Even though, as said, it aired in May of 1995.
Yeah, well,
which is
you
the
know.
Best part. That's the part that amuses me the most, I think.
Well, look, by Christmas of 95, they were into season 3 already. I think.
They were done with season 3. Except, unless you count LA Rangers.
Were they?
Yeah. All of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers ran up until November of 95, and then that was that. Everything else was ALA Rangers in the spring, and then Zeo.
Huh. Wait, didn't Zeo start in, like, February?
No, I think it was, like, I want to say March or April. Look it up.
But effort.
Effort!
Yeah, so anyway, Paladin, you're doing the summaries.
Ah, crap.
Yeah, well, you had to expect that.
I should have. I guess I gotta load up Netflix now.
Yeah, Zia started in April 20th.
It's Hitler's pot day.
What?
420.
Oh, right.
A response like that, I think you already know what that means.
That was a quick response, too. It's like, oh, all right. At least the preview episode aired on April 20th. That's enough to count.
Are you there yet?
It's getting there. So it starts out with it when there's a book fair at the school to try and raise money for the library or some shit.
Yeah, so to raise money for the library, they're selling all the books out of the library.
That makes sense.
It's not what's really happening, but that's certainly the impression it gives.
Uh-huh. But, well, actually, that's kind of not far from the truth, but libraries are kind of doing now. They're selling the books and buying computers.
Once again, Power Rangers is ahead of the trend.
People come in to use the computer when they don't have one, rather than, you know, read books.
Who reads books anyway? Nerds.
Well, okay.
Liberals.
And Kimberly finds one she likes called Grumble the Magic Elf. Must be her life story.
Damn! You mean her or Amy Jo Johnson?
Oh, that's cold.
I think you answered your own question, Ken.
Just about to make sure.
But yes, Kimberly's all enamored with his book because it reminds her of her dad, so Tommy buys it for her as a romantic gift.
Because that's not creepy subtext at all, is it?
No.
Because I can never tell anymore with those two.
Also, this is after the gang told Tommy about shampoo.
Yes.
His hair is clean and full of body.
Yeah.
That is late season two.
Yeah. Like, this is the point where he stops tying
his
hair.
So Rita, once again, is spying on Kimberly.
For fuck's sake.
It is kind of preposterous hair.
Though this is the point where he stops tying it back, but it's still not, like, long enough to really wear loose. So it all just kind of sticks out like he's, you know, going for some half-mad scientist thing.
Yeah.
If we were wearing robes, he'd really look like Ranger Jesus.
God, he would.
I think that's the way they want him to look.
You're probably right. You're not wrong.
But you're not right. You're so not right. Anyway, you may continue.
No, we finished Tokyo. Of course not. So Rita's spying on the Power Rangers yet again and decides to use the book as a way to trap three of them.
Sure.
Meanwhile, both...
Rita plans.
This is why she got fired in the first place.
Does whatever comes to mind on a whim. Like, that'll work, sure.
Meanwhile, Bulk and Skull are also at the book fair, and Skull picks out a Thanksgiving cookbook for his mother.
But Bulk's already had his mother's cooking.
Oh, that line from Bulk was cold.
I've tasted your mom's cooking.
How did I guess you would go there?
Well, that's what I heard when I was listening to the episode.
Of course it was. But Volk picks out a book called Monster Making Made Easy.
And you can immediately see where this is going.
Because they're still trying to figure out who the Power Rangers really are.
Who sells that at a high school book fair?
The same person that sells Quantum Physics is Fun.
Are we sure Billy just forgot that he had donated that or something?
Billy's really smart, but his short-term memory is terrible. He's the world's smartest goldfish.
He actually already owns that book. It's just his pants are so tight around the waist, he can't think of anything else right now. Like, oh, yes, physics. I like physics. I'll buy this.
Well, he already owned the book once, but he kind of, like, wore it out and messed it up a little bit. So he had to get a replacement.
The pages got stuck together, what you're saying.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little sticky.
Yeah.
So, Rita casts her spell, and Tommy, Kimberly, and Rocky get stuck in the pages of the book. And somehow it lands up in the trash can. How appropriate.
Wait, Rocky was there?
Yes.
My Morphin Power Rangers in a nutshell. Wait, Rocky's in that scene?
No, but, like, you're right. Looking back at this whole story, it's like, was there a point to Rocky being there except to get him out of the way?
Yep.
Was there a point except that they wanted to have like half the team be gone?
Let's put it like this. Rocky being how he is, when they have an episode of Zia where he laments over people liking Jason better than him, they're like, well, yeah.
Yeah, that's not scripted. That's actually how he feels.
Yeah. Like, well, that's like one of the most true to life things possible.
So then in comes Tickle Sneezer 2.0 with his wagon full of toys.
Yes.
Okay, so this monster is a combination of, like you said, Tickle Sneezer and also the, what was the gnome thing called? The one with the accordion.
I don't remember, but I know what you're talking about.
I'm actually more frightened that I actually remembered the name Tickle Sneezer.
Yeah, I couldn't recall that earlier. I was trying to.
Anyway, you know, part Tickle Sneezer and part gnome thing painted
Gnarly
red.
Gnome.
Gnarly Gnome, okay.
Gnarly Gnome, there we go.
Yeah, that sounds like a Power Ranger name.
Because that starts with a G when you spell it, even if it doesn't sound like it.
Kind of. Alliteration, kind of.
An odd kind of alliteration, yeah. But yeah, they painted that red, and they painted Tickle Sneezer's face blue and put fangs in him, and new hat, and there you go.
But he's got a new hat! Now, let's take a moment about this amazing green screen location they're filming on.
Oh, my God.
You know, Speaking of Tommy's hair, this green screen worked out pretty well, except for parts where Tommy was in front of it.
So basically all of it?
Well, like, if you just like, put your hand over the screen where Tommy's standing.
That's really how I watch most episodes.
Where you can't see how the green screen's not really getting his hair exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, it
maybe, like, they should have made him wearing it in a ponytail that day.
I know, right? Because, like, you know, with the cartoony background, the green screen thing is acceptable. It passes. Except for that, you know, you see the compositing effect on his hair.
Yeah.
Now, the backgrounds that are animated. One, I'm impressed they bothered to animate them at all. That should have been out of budget for Saban. But two, it looks like a mid-90s Myst ripoff.
Yes.
That's so, like some late 80s King's Quest graphics right there.
Well, and see, if they had done this today, like, what you would just assume is, okay, so somebody went on the internet and got a bunch of clip art and stuff off of,
yes,
you know, a GeoCities archive and just composited that in. But, like, somebody actually had to animate all this from the start.
Yeah.
That is kind of impressive.
Mm-hmm.
About Power Rangers standards, yes.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, the art isn't that bad, actually. I mean, it...
No, it's...
It looks like something like you'd see in a storybook.
Like how they managed to find the ground that where they're standing is actually part of the stuff that was actually shot, and it blends in well.
Yeah, it does. They did a surprisingly good job on this by Power Rangers standards.
Yes.
I mean, I think for the purposes of this discussion, we can just assume when we say they did a good job of something, the Power Rangers standards part is part of the statement.
Yeah. It's implied.
There are YouTubers that can do better than that nowadays, so.
Not really.
There's YouTubers that think they can do better than that.
This is also true. Both of these things are true.
Yeah.
To be honest.
So, while Zed sends putties into the book to steal the children's toys, Bulk and Skull begin building a monster. And Skull keeps reading the wrong book.
To be fair, Skull's usually reading the wrong book.
I think it's actually kind of impressive that he can read.
What? He's a classically trained pianist.
But he sucks.
Not for another season and a half.
And then never again.
Yeah, that was still a good episode, though.
Yeah, it was. I liked that one a lot. We've done that for Power Playback before.
I did the summary for that one on pain medication, if I recall right.
That must have been really good.
It was entertaining because I hadn't watched the episode prior to coming in.
Wow, we were really great choices that night.
In like 10 years. So,
That must have been back in the old days of when your summaries took longer than the actual episode.
Probably.
Yeah. I can't imagine it went any other way, especially on pain meds.
Because I was not going to be on the show that week because I had to work, but then I was hurt and I had to go to the doctor, and then they gave me pain medication and I took it, and you're like, hey, why don't you come on the show? I was like, okay.
It'll be fun for us.
All right.
And you stuck me with the summary. I was like, oh, God. All I remember is laughing over the word pianist over and over again.
But who doesn't?
Y'all certainly did.
I mean, who can say pianist and not laugh?
So Zed sends the putties down, and I don't, for life, I cannot figure out what the hell the putties are supposed to be doing other than wasting time to sort of drag the episode out.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they always
do? Usually do.
But they're just kind of they dance around, they look at the wagon full of toys, they back off, they dance around some more, they come back up, look at it again. They're like,
I think they were trying to be stealthy.
Yes. Stealthy.
Well, they're doing a good job because nobody fucking notices them.
Yeah.
So, as the other three finally remember, hey, there's supposed to be three more of us, isn't there? And can't get in contact with the missing Rangers. The kids in the book somehow wind up in the snow.
No, you missed the best part.
Which best part?
They would expect Tommy to be late, but not the other two.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, it's normal for Tommy to be late, but the others would have been here by now.
They totally lampshaded the shit out of that.
Yeah.
Considering what late season 2 is like, probably.
That was great. But yeah, they ended up in the snow, and it's time for our next rehash monster suit.
The Mustache Yeti.
Which is just the Primator monster from earlier this season with a mustache.
Yes. Yes, it is.
They should put, like, funny glasses on it, too. Then you would never know who it was.
It's Zordon!
And all the meanwhile, Skull's scurrying around trying to figure out how to make a monster. Or a turkey.
And what I don't get is that light thing. What is that?
Something the prop department had lying around.
But why does it keep moving?
It's alive. Who's typing?
Mickey?
Not me.
His keyboard doesn't sound like that. It's a Mac. I can't do that. We talked about this before. I blame Paladin.
Sounds good.
Okay. And, well, that's about it for the first episode.
Okay,
oh,
so, like...
Wait. In the cold, they try to morph, but their morphs don't work because it's cold.
Yeah, well, you know, cold makes batteries fail.
Well, you know, and their morphers are climate-adjusted for Southern California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they would need to be, like, retuned to work in extreme cold. They probably need the fittings replaced so they move smoother or something.
Yeah, their O-rings probably popped.
Oh, yeah, that's probably it. Okay, so, like, back me up on this. Was there any morphed footage in this episode?
No.
No, there was not. A full, and this aired as two parts originally. It was not, like, a run-together episode.
Yeah, although it was, like, on weekdays, so it was, like, one episode came, like, on one day, and the next episode was next day, but
right,
still.
But, like, it's a whole episode of Power Rangers without a Power Ranger in it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're in the theme song.
Well, they do that occasionally. Sometimes it'll be, you know, like, series premieres, or like, a two-parter. Like, say, Lost Galaxy.
Yeah, but usually when that happens, those were originally broadcast as an hour-long episode.
Well, no, Lost Galaxy, the first episode aired, and then the second episode aired next week. Although, I guess the first episode did have action in it, technically, so kind of balances itself out.
There's not even, like, an unmorphed fight or anything, because, like we just established, the putties don't do anything.
Right. The putties get motivated, all they do is grab the cart full of toys and disappear.
Before
a fight
can happen.
Right.
Yeah.
This episode was terrible.
It's terrible, but it's, like, remarkable, too, just because...
Oh, it's enjoyable, but it's like, man, what the hell were they thinking?
Yeah.
I'm just, like, you know, what's catching me is this is, you know, the back half of season 2, and it's a whole episode, and there's not a Power Ranger to be seen in the actual episode.
Yeah.
Is that out of money this year?
New Saban would never do that.
No. Well, New Saban would never do an episode set in a storybook on this little money this well.
New Saban would never do an episode that's enjoyable. So,
New Saban would do an episode in a storybook with a ton more money and do it, like, five times worse.
Yeah, basically.
Sadly true.
Mm-hmm. They wouldn't ever have their own ideas.
What are those?
Yeah.
Can you eat them?
Is that something we can get from Japan?
New ideas. Is that a title of one of the translated scripts?
No, that's New Powers.
Oh, okay.
So, part 2 opens. They're still out in the cold, and they still haven't attempted cutting Rocky open and crawling inside.
They forgot he was there.
And Bulk and Skull are finally ready to try and bring their monster to life. And Rita and Zed decide to give them a little help so they can finish off the other three Rangers.
One thing is that I did like in I think probably from the first episode is that when Bolt comes back from getting the 9 volts, and Skull shows shows that I followed the directions of the book right here, showing the cookbook. It's like,
tell me you didn't follow that book.
Yeah,
you didn't follow that book.
Good. I didn't think anyone would be that stupid, but then after Bulk starts talking, you just see Skull just being terrified in the background.
One thing that actually strikes me is like how casually Rita and Zed just talk about Bulk and Skull by name.
Well, they're hanging around the Power Rangers all the time. How can they not know who Bulk and Skull are?
It just really kind of stood out to me. I'm like, huh. I've never noticed that before.
Well, it doesn't really happen that often.
No.
And I remember Bulk and Skull did open up Rita's dumpster.
They did.
With the giant can opener.
They did. Yeah. Before she got punted back off.
Plus, you know, they probably think they're entertaining too.
They probably do. That's their entertainment. They just...
Like... Even back in season one, Goldar knew their names.
Yeah, it's really hard to get Cable up on the moon.
Well, I guess it was the 90s, so yeah, they would still be dealing with Cable, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Well, I don't know, they could probably put like a C-band dish up there. That'd probably work, right?
Anyway, this is where we meet the Turkey Jerk Monster. And this is probably the worst of the three recycled suits here.
Well, it's...
Or the best.
Okay, it's like the worst in one context, given that the source suit they use is pretty terrible. But it's also the best because they did the most work to make this over. So this is the Chunky Chicken Monster, which, once you know that, you can tell by the shape of the suit. But they basically changed everything about it. You know, it's brown and wearing a leather coat and has extraneous control pads because someone got into the Star Trek set design Bible or something. It's just missing blinkies because they probably ran out of 9-volt batteries again.
Oh yeah, Bolt never found picked up some more.
I just want to mention how much I love their Looney Tunes exit from the scene.
Yes.
This is just the weirdest couple episodes. And it's not even the weirdest of this season.
I'm getting a new respect for season 2 the more I watch of it.
Like, the second half of season 2 is... It's like Turbo. The second half of season 2 is actually fun to watch.
Uh-huh.
Where the first half is just kind of painful.
Yeah, basically.
Just for completely different reasons.
Yeah.
Well, not entirely different reasons, because, like, the early part of season 2 is a little painful for how they're having to shoot around Jason, Zach, and Trini having up and left.
And also having to edit around Zord fights.
And then Turbo is shooting around Tommy a lot of times. Which is true, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, both ended up getting stronger after their cast change took place, it's just Turbo did it more immediately. But anyway.
Yeah.
Paladin, you may continue.
Oh, right. So they decide they just have to play out the story and help Grumble deliver the damn toys. And ask why they didn't think of this in the first place, but hey, it's Tommy and Rocky.
You're getting this a little mixed up. They planned in part one to help deliver the toys and get to the end of the story, but the toys got stolen, so their new plan, this is brilliant, they're going to go back to the beginning of the story and just make it not happen to begin with. You may continue.
And then we finally get a fight scene when the other three take on Turkey Monster.
Because Turkey Jerks chase Bulk and Skull up a tree.
And it's all mostly original fight footage, too.
It is all original fight footage.
Why wouldn't it be?
They didn't have this monster in Sentai, Paladin.
Oh, yeah, it was in G-Ranger, right?
Yeah, they just cut to random shots of Chunky Chicken. Nobody will notice.
And then they try to go visit Mondo the Magician.
Well, going
because
back to the
they
fight,
need to have this in Sentai.
Going back to the fight, the power axe Adam pulls out. What the hell?
Yeah, what is that thing?
I assume it's like a stunt prop, but we know they had the better prop around.
They reused it into something else.
No, but I mean, they had it to put in the display case in Zeo, so it was...
That was more of a close-up prop, so they probably didn't bring it to the park.
I guess.
Combat park.
No,
this spot in Angel Grove.
No, that wasn't combat. This episode was we
Sentai
need a hero,
has the quarry. Power Rangers has the park.
Yeah. And in season three, they have the suburban neighborhood.
Yep.
Yep.
But no, this wasn't combat. This episode it was we need a hero. I think.
Yet the saddest Ron Wasserman song.
No, it was Fight.
No, it was We Need a Hero.
And at this point, Bulk and Skull both realize, hey, what if this backfires and it actually defeats the Power Rangers?
Well, you can probably still take the helmets off their dead bodies.
They should have known better, because, you know, none of their plans ever worked that well.
Right, but when they team up with Rita and Zed, maybe it does work.
Let's just multiply their fail.
Oh, they divided by zero, didn't they?
I mean, a negative number times four or two is still going to be negative.
What if you, times a negative.
What if you multiply it by five?
By five? That'd be really awful.
What if you multiply it by V?
Like, anyway. Go five?
V.
Go fives.
So once the monster defeated, Bulk and Skull both fall
out
of
control. Wait, how'd you get to the monster being defeated?
Wait.
I'm trying to speed this up a little bit.
Stop it! This was actually a decent episode. You're just, like, rushing through the whole thing. No, like, you totally skipped over the storybook part and the canon, and you're kind of blowing through the whole thing and ruining it. You're totally paladining this up.
XV, take over.
No. I'm just going to keep telling Paladin how he's doing it wrong. That's the true mark of a leader.
Okay. So back in the book, they go and try to find Mondo the Magician, who is one of those guys from Die Ranger, whose name I can't remember and I'm not going to look up now.
But he was one of the Gorma generals.
Yeah.
I don't remember which one either.
Zydos?
Maybe?
One of the important ones.
No, if he was Zydos, he wasn't important.
It was Zydos, I think.
Yeah, he wasn't the important one. The important ones were Gaara and the other one, whose name I really don't remember. Fortmax?
I don't remember.
Okay. Anyway, they were important. Except for Zydos.
Have we gotten to
the
turkey here, pulls a stick of cranberries out of his ass?
Played by a skill of Zydos behind a door.
I was getting to that. Since the Rangers cut off his baster weapon, Turkey Jerk pulls out his cranberries.
Baster weapon probably requires a bit of a mention more than that, too. Because he's totally going to squirt it all over them.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And Billy is just kind of overcome by this.
Well, who wouldn't be?
Or has he come over?
Oh.
That depends. Oh. What was in the baster?
Well, it's a big one. But anyway, yes, so as Fort Max was pointing out, Mondo the Magician is just a still frame of Zydos behind a door. And, like, if when they turn that off, you can just look at the door, and it's just the green screen material immediately behind the bars, too. They don't even, like, there's not even a space there to try to have it not look like it's just a screen. Good job. Yeah, actually, the way they incorporated Mondo the Magician before the Megazord battle is kind of hilarious.
It really is.
But anyway, can summary continue?
Can summary?
Yes, can summary, please?
Oh, can summary.
Hey, it couldn't be any worse than this.
So who has a problem with words now?
So even with only half the team, they still have a new toy to sell, so they whip out the power cannon.
Yeah, which what the shit is this thing?
I think they only used it, like, maybe three times ever.
I have never seen that thing before in my life.
Have you seen a toy?
I think I owned this back when this was airing.
Would they have made a toy of it?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Of course they did.
It was from, It was from Die Ranger. So
I didn't watch Die Ranger.
Okay, so
the handle detached and became a sword.
No. Well, maybe. Okay, so No. Listen. This is good. This is good
for a second, and then maybe.
This is good though. Like the Die Ranger version, there was an extra weapon piece in the top of it, which was not represented in the Power Ranger version. So instead, the package had you like half-assedly fold up a blade blaster and cram it in the slot.
It shot colored balls too.
Oh.
Yeah, the balls popped out of its mouth.
Mr. Bucket?
It's the Mr. Bucket cannon.
Bucket.
Yeah, I do not remember this thing at all.
I remember seeing this.
Like here is that since they only have three of them, you can see that they're struggling with the weight and nearly get blown off their feet by the
recoil.
By the recoil.
It's a nice touch. I mean, honestly, like I said, the power cannon or thunder cannon or whatever it is only got used a couple times. But this is the one that I remember just because, like, oh, hey, they almost got knocked on their asses.
It was used a lot, but it was just that stock footage sequence.
Either way, this is the one I remember because, you know, notably different. But yeah, this thing's really stupid.
Was it less stupid in Dire Ranger?
Probably not.
Less stupid by association?
I guess.
Okay.
Less stupid by being, you know, actually sort of relevant to the theming of the show.
Yeah.
Plus, like, you know, you go from the Power Blaster to this thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of a leap.
Yeah.
Where, that's, you know, Die Ranger doesn't have the context of a different team weapon before this. You know, and plus by the time I watched Die Ranger, I was used to, you know, full team cannons like this. So it didn't seem as stupid as it originally did. Still looks stupid in Power Rangers, though. Like, even back then, it looked out of place with the stuff they were using.
So as I was at before, the turkey monster is blown up, and Bulk and Skull are knocked out of the tree. Skull lands on his ass, and Bulk lands on Skull.
The turkey monster just blows up into this, like, yellow cloud, too. I don't think they were actually allowed to use any pyro in the park that day.
Maybe Skull just picked some really bad stuffing.
It was probably, like, you know, fire season or something.
So, any time of the year?
In California, yeah. Although, if, like, what we were saying in the pre-show is right, and, you know, doing the multi-parters and stuff like this was a way to try to cut costs, cutting out the explosions probably helped with that, too.
A complicated animated green screen across two episodes probably didn't help, though.
No. No. This is a weird pair of episodes. But not in a bad way.
And so, when they open the book again, Aisha is the one who figures out how to solve things by picking up some colored pencils and drawing in the toys.
I like how she asked Alpha, do you have any colored pencils? He's like, oh yeah, sure. I'm like,
Alpha. Yeah, right here on the desk.
Okay, sure.
He has them on hand for when he abducts kids in the middle of the night and brings them into the power chamber.
The basement? What's Alpha doing in the basement? See, I was just going
to
say...
Well, we'll get to that in a couple weeks.
I was just going to say that the command center is prepared for any situation, including coloring emergencies. but Paladin just had to go in a completely different direction.
Yes, he did.
And they walk past another still image of Mondo the Magician in the forest.
Yep. And for the life of me, I cannot remember what I thought of this when I first watched the episode. Like, now with context, it's a completely different kind of thing, seeing this. I can't imagine what I was thinking then.
I remember thinking...
So the toys are delivered the day...
Wait, Paladin, stop.
I remember thinking, how the hell is Rita old friends with the character from a book?
Well, there's that too. Although since there's like a living world in the book, I guess there's, you know, stuff.
And fangs.
Uh-huh.
Fangs?
Fangs.
Fangs.
The old classics never die.
They just keep hanging on.
So with the toys finally delivered, the three rangers are set free, and Rita unintentionally inspires the story of Big Bad Beetleborgs by summoning Mondo the Magician from the book.
Damn you, Rita!
Yes, and there's a giant hole in the book to prove it.
Because that's how that works.
Well, that's how it worked in Beetleborgs.
And now it's time for the Zord fight.
It sure is.
And this actually takes a while because this guy actually meant something in Die Ranger.
Doesn't take that long.
More than usual still... for a season 2 fight.
And they're still mostly just cutting in the same three shots they always use for Zord fights. like, they seemed like they used as little of that fight scene as they possibly could, while still using some of it. Because they're cutting all around that. And once again, the Zord fights are the thing that I like the least about Season 2. Mm-hmm. Until you get right to the end and they make the new ones.
Zord designs are great, but the fights are just incredibly lackluster.
And, like, the fights kind of sour the Zord designs for me, because I associate them with these boring fights.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can understand that a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, now that the day is saved, they have to close up the book fair, and Bulk and Skull come back to re-donate their books. Because, yeah, that's how this thing works.
And then Kimberly suggests they might like the fairy tale book better. I think it was Kimberly.
Kimberly, you're a bitch.
What was your first clue?
And as final punishment for Bulk and Skull, they open up the fairy tale book and Grumble starts talking to them.
Because that also totally works that way.
Right.
Does that mean that book is just, like, permanently cursed now?
Well, it does have a big hole in one page.
Yeah.
Oh, no, 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 it doesn't.
Are you sure?
You know how it worked. Well,
we didn't see Mondo
as a Beetleborgs.
We didn't see Mondo's image fly back into the book, though. That could have just been permanent.
That's the end of the story.
That was one hell of a story.
It'd make a good storybook.
Storybook Rangers, the storybook.
I wonder if they ever did that.
Oh.
It seems like such an obvious, like, novelization tie-in.
So next week, what do we decide we're starting with? Dreaming of a White Ranger?
Sure.
Okay, I guess we'll just...
I was going to say, it's also chronological.
Yeah. But when
does it mean starting with Alpha's Magical Christmas?
It does. But it also means getting Alpha's Magical Christmas out of the way.
Well, what's the decision here?
Somebody rig up a dartboard and throw targets at it.
White Christmas.
Okay, then. So next week we kick off Power Playback Christmas special with I'm Dreaming of a White Ranger. The first of two Power Rangers televised Christmas specials. Because I believe Alpha's Magical Christmas was direct-to-video.
It was.
Yeah. Which is why I've never seen it.
But it's also magical.
So yes, join us next week for Superhero Time Ruins Christmas.
I think
just like we ruin everything else.
I think that's our tagline for this segment.
Yep, that's going to be the title of the month. Superhero Time Ruins Christmas. So, anything else this week?
Well, we're almost in time to watch the extended Super Megaforce finale.
So that's a no.
Yeah.
I'll just wait. A single episode of that show.
I'll just wait for the reports, and if there's actually any, like, decent extra content in that, I'll download it later. Kind of doubting it, though. I heard someone say it's probably just they cut an episode of JDF's My Morphin Life into the episode, and that's where the extra time came from. Which I wouldn't be surprised by. Like, the episode is just the same. They just, like, interrupt it in the middle for a segment with that. It's the intermission. Okay, well, that's our show for this week. Blah, blah, blah. I'm tired.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
Gone this far into the episode without talking about the new Pokemon game, huh?
Well,
I don't have it yet
I thought it turned out I was the only one here who is actually getting it.
I'm going to get it like next couple weeks, but I spent all my money on Smash Brothers and Amiibo, so
oh,
Amazon's not delivering mine till December 1st.
Ugh.
Fort Max
don't have it yet.
Well, I guess I'm special this time.
So I'm just replaying X in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, I'll have it eventually.
Yeah.
But I got other things to occupy.
So let me tell you one really great thing they've added for this.
Mm-hmm.
You can fly to routes between cities you visited.
That's nice.
Not just, like, you know, routes and points of interest. You're not limited to just flying to cities you've been to.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense.
It does, and I think it's, like, long overdue.
So the Safari Zone's still in it, right?
Yeah.
Good.
Although it's free play now.
Better.
But they don't give you balls.
Oh, yeah.
It's bring your own ball. No, like, overall, I'm enjoying... I got Alpha Sapphire, and I'm liking it pretty well. Like, there's some stuff out of X that I miss, like, making shitloads of money all the time. Although I can work around... Like, if I get on Wonder Trade for a few hours, I'll get enough Pokemiles to trade in for as many Ultra Balls as I'll ever need, so that's not really a big deal.
Oh, so they still have the Pokemiles.
It does.
Good!
I don't remember what city the exchange is in, but it's there somewhere.
Yeah, that's still one of the best things for, you know, not actually spending money.
Well, let me tell you, too, when you breed hundreds and hundreds of things trying to, you know, get, like, shinies or good IVs...
You get lots and lots of miles.
Yeah, all the time you'll spend on Wonder Trade getting rid of the extras, I have, like, 150,000 Pokemiles on Y.
Yeah. That sounds about right. That was honestly more than getting stuff through Wonder Trade. That was one of the primary reasons I use Wonder Trade.
Well, yeah, and like it's kind of a double edged thing because if you stay in Wonder Trade long enough, you don't have to catch anything, and if you stay in Wonder Trade long enough, you can afford to catch everything. So, like in one way or another, it becomes pointless. But
am I alone that I never had problems with money? I mean, I just put the alien coin up front and just ran with that.
Okay, in X and Y, there's no problem with the money. Because, like, you know, you can go to the Battle Chateau really early.
And keep going back over and over again.
Yeah, make piles. That's like, right. Every time I get scatter bugs off Wonder Trade in Y, I head over to the Battle Chateau and evolve them right away. And end up getting, like, 100,000, like, per batch, usually. Because amulet coin and...
Prize money power.
And, like, writs of invitation.
Are there powers in Sapphire?
Yeah, there's no powers.
Okay.
Basically, a lot of the features, I think, still carried over, except, like, you know, trainer customization.
Yeah.
Which...
And they're not allowed to put in the casino anymore.
Yes.
But you can still visit where the game center used to be.
I think they have, like, a note posted up, like, thank you for your business, sorry.
Well, there's also the jobless former owner of the place standing outside the shuttered.
That's great.
Why can't they have the casino?
It's illegal in Europe.
Gambling is? Oh, well, casinos and video games.
Europe is weird. I don't know why Gigabeetle lives there.
Okay, so it's Gigabeetle's fault. We can agree on that.
I think it's more that Europe moved around Gigabeetle.
Oh, okay. Like
wherever Gigabeetle goes, Europe will follow.
Oh. Maybe it
wants
good
to be around him.
Maybe it's good that he didn't come to TFCon this year, otherwise Europe would have come to Canada and spilled over into the U.S.
Well, you know, Canada's already half French.
Wait, what?
French Canadians?
Oh. Okay, so I misheard what you said. And it sounded like you were saying Ken was half French?
Mm-hmm. No, Canada.
Canada, right.
Tetsuo!
Super Hero Time! 次回もよろしく!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio, Stitcher. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.